Hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Always a pleasure when we get to head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline to say hello to our good friend Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com as he joins us for the first half of this third hour of the show. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about yourselves?
Doing quite well. And how are things with the West Rebels these days?
Big one this weekend against Oak Ridge. Huge region game.
Yeah, and it'll be Rivalry Thursday.
Rivalry Thursday. It'll be some excellent commentary, I'm sure.
That's right. Perhaps we can get a preview tonight on the VolQuest chat, which is Austin Price's favorite hour of the week, correct? Still?
Very good chance, yeah. I mean, hard to know what to make of Oak Ridge. They played without Kendall Jackson last week. You know, had a tough loss to Farragut. West, you know, handled Farragut pretty easily. But, missing it in high school when you're missing a kid of Jackson's caliber, that's a pretty big deal. And I expect him to be back this week. So, big test for both teams.
We had seen a game here, a game there. But tell me, what did you think? What were your takeaways from the ACC, the Big 12, getting in on the act this past Saturday?
You know, I got to be honest. I had a hard time getting very fired up about college football with no SEC being played. I mean, I watched some of Clemson, I watched some of Oklahoma, but it just didn't feel like the big boys were taking the field. Now, I did get a lot of enjoyment out of the NFL on Sunday, Thursday night, Sunday. Now that felt real. That felt that felt normal, despite not having fans in the stands. That didn't bother me as much as I thought it was going to. It wasn't as noticeable. Now, I don't know if they, if from a production standpoint, they did something where the camera shots kind of minimized that aspect of it. But I really enjoyed NFL football on Sunday. And like I said, just without the SEC getting after it, college football did not seem like that big of a deal to me on Saturday.
I'll say this. I love watching the Raging Cajuns win over Iowa State and Arkansas State over Kansas State. Those upsets, I thoroughly enjoyed them. I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of that, but I just like underdogs, and I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, I like underdogs too, but my main interest in college football is, and I'm not trying to say I don't enjoy a good upset, I do, but I like seeing the big boys go at it against each other. And with the SEC, still 2 weeks away from playing, that just wasn't happening on Saturday. I mean, Wake Forest and Clemson is not my idea of must-watch TV.
There were several things that Jeremy Pruitt said today at the quarterback club. I want to ask you about them. One of them, he mentioned that on Saturday, during their practice on Saturday, there were 34 out, and he said he was excited about that because that's the fewest number that he's had out in about 2 weeks. Now, he had mentioned 44 the previous Saturday. I reported 57 out on Monday. I didn't realize they had that many out for a two-week period, Rod. That caught me by surprise a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard – maybe not the exact same numbers you've heard, Jimmy, but I've heard – the numbers I've heard have been surprising and, make it – the frustration that you hear in Jeremy Pruitt's voice, pretty understandable whenever he's talked about what they've been able to get done, on the football field, even though, I think that this is a – I don't know, free pass is the right phrase because I don't act like the games don't matter, but I don't think a lot of coaches are going to get held accountable for what happens this year – in terms of wins and losses, but you can still tell that, the guys feel pressure to get ready. And I think in Jeremy's case, he feels like, he's really been handcuffed and how he's been able to do that. I would be very interested to know how the contact tracing is being handled around the rest of the SEC. Now, I know they're doing it allegedly. I know, it's supposed to be a blanket policy as far as 14 days, but I think the gray area in a lot of programs are doing it differently in Tennessee is that, what exactly constitutes contact. Because from what I can gather, it sounds like Tennessee, and this is based on Knox County, has a pretty strict interpretation of what constitutes contact, whereas I've heard that at a place like Georgia, for instance, and talking with somebody on the beat down there that covers them, that contact in that instance is basically like roommates, where – that Tennessee contact can be around, somebody that you ate lunch with or ate lunch near. for example. See, some, so I don't think there's a uniform policy in place by any stretch of imagination.
Well, I agree with you on that. And the other thing is that I was told that the health department had kind of oversees the deal at Tennessee. I'm not sure if health departments are overlooking them at Georgia and other places. It might be the athletic department, which could render some different results or different interpretations. So I think you're exactly right on that. I did think it was also interesting that Pruitt said that a guy like Harrison Bailey has been hurt by no spring practice and then missing the first 4 days of practice and then having a lot of offensive guys out, so he wasn't getting the reps. But it helped a guy like offensive lineman Javontez Spraggins, because there's so many offensive linemen out, he's getting a lot of quality reps. So depending on who you are, I guess there's some benefit to it and there's a disadvantage to it within this Tennessee football team.
Yeah, now I've heard the same things you have about Spraggins. I mean, even before Coach Pruitt's comments today, and for the exact same reason that so many guys have been out, you know, due to contact tracing, that he's got an opportunity that a freshman offensive lineman just normally wouldn't get, and has made the most of him. And that's, you know, if you think about it, Jimmy, what a crazy story. You know, he comes to Tennessee for a football camp from East St. Louis the summer before his senior year. He's never been here before. He's way off the radar as a recruit. Tennessee offers him on the spot. He commits shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. And he had if you remember, had a much more heralded teammate at the time. The name escapes me now, but he was a four-star safety who Tennessee really liked, and they committed more or less at the same time. His high school teammate backs off. He's at Texas A&M now. And Spraggins, you know, stays with his commitment, even with the opportunity when opportunities arose all over the place. So been a neat story to see that kid, you know, first off, how he ended up at Tennessee, and then when he had chances to go a lot of other places, stuck with it, and now, you know, it looks like it's working out for him. And as far as Harrison goes, yeah, Jimmy, I was just, you know, that's really tough for a freshman quarterback when you miss that much time. Continuity is such a big deal, you know, developing chemistry with your receivers. It's, you know, in this day and age, if you're not here in the spring, I mean, I think it's almost impossible to get on the field in the fall unless you're just, you know, bereft of any kind of competition at that position, which Tennessee most definitely is not.
Let's go to the phones and catch up with Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellows.
Hey.
Hey. What's going on with the, is it Perry, the big kid out of Alabama? It's up there. Is he offensive line or defensive line right now? And how's he looking if he's doing anything?
I think it sounds like he's going to be a defensive lineman, Jimmy, based off what I'm hearing.
R.J. Perry?
Offensive. Did I say offensive lineman? That's what I meant.
You said, he got moved to.
Offensive line, I think, is where he's projected. And
Correct.
I think the kid has some nice tools. Now, I think he's really raw. I would expect anything this year, especially with the depth that Tennessee has. But I think he's got a lot of tools to work with.
All right. Well, I know he supposedly is real agile. He supposedly has real good feet. We know he's huge, got real long arms. You know, and if he's got all those tools, if that's all accurate, I'd be surprised if he stays healthy that something he doesn't do good things sometime before terribly long in his career. But anyway, good to hear that about Spraggins, too. I know that Ben Hubbs is real high on Spraggins. And, good to hear that about him. And what you said is true, Rob. It's kind of an unusual type story with him. But anyway. Well, listen, fellas, I've had a rough afternoon. So I'm going to lay here and think about what we talked about and wish I could hear y'all, but I can't. But y'all hang in there, and I still think, and I think we all, most of us agree, that this virus stuff, the season, if it finishes, it's going to be just crazy. I still don't think they'll finish the whole season. So we'll see. Anyway. Well, listen, I'll quit rambling, guys. Y'all hang in there and talk to y'all first, okay?
All right. Hope your afternoon evens out for you, Steve. Thank you very much for the call. We'll get a break. We've got more with Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com. to join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. More with Sports Talk coming your way on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Download the TuneIn app so you can take 99.1 The Sports Animal with you wherever you go.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Rob, it's so hard to believe when you start seeing things like this, but folks, if they go to BallQuest right now, we'll see Eric Kane writing a nice piece on how Tennessee has offered an athlete in the class of 23. It's just that always seemed like so far away and science fiction-y, but now it's the class. It's just two classes away.
Yeah, and I think it's not as unusual as it used to be. To offer a young man who's in his sophomore year of high school right now. I mean, it's still pretty rare, but it's not out of the question anymore. And I think that's also a reflection of Tennessee being all but done in the current class. You know, there's still a couple guys who're chasing, but not like you would normally see in September. I mean, they're sitting on 26 commitments. There are certainly a couple other guys that are targets. But I imagine these guys, they're certainly way ahead in terms of the 2022 class. And I think a lot of that is because so much of it's the in-state talent is so loaded like this upcoming year. And even with the COVID restrictions on recruiting off campus or bringing kids to your campus, these are kids inside your own state that you probably had a good head start on finding out about, either getting them here for camp, getting here for unofficial visits during their sophomore year. But yeah, when a couple of the 23 offers are going out, like you're talking about, to the young man Sawyer Dearman, who a wideout from down in Alabama, who is, even though he's a sophomore, really impressive looking young guy. But I think you'll see some more of that, just because Tennessee is able to spend so much time, watching film on younger guys, since they have such a narrow focus on what's left in the 2021 class.
You put together a piece after Victor Bailey was made available by Tennessee's basketball team. And when you have somebody who goes through what we rarely see these days, although sometimes it can cast almost a villainous role when somebody is forced to not be granted a waiver, but he just went through the normal transfer process. But it's no doubt about it, one, his teammates really like him and his game, as well as his coaches, and then also he's really excited that now he gets to wear the orange and white and compete with the Vols, isn't he?
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see what this young guy is going to be able to do, John. I mean, everybody's excited to see Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, and rightly so. I think they're going to be two really good players. And I think Bailey's kind of a forgotten man. And point guard, to me, is not a position where I think Tennessee is rock solid. And, I think Santiago Vescovi obviously did some good things there last year. Josiah did some good things there last year. But, they weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And I think Bailey will compete for a lot of minutes, and he can slide off the ball too. But people forget this was a top 100 type player. When he came out of high school, could have gone a lot of places in the country, picked Oregon. Obviously, grew up in Austin. So knew Coach Barnes and several, guys that were on the staff at the time when he was coming out, and Rob Lanier and Chris Ogden. But Tennessee wasn't quite the place. He's, pulling top 100 kids from out of state, even if he did have a pre-existing relationship. And really interesting backstory. His dad played in the NFL, a receiver, Victor Bailey, played for a few teams. His mom was an Olympic track and field athlete. So genetics are in place. You can say that for sure. And on a team that features Eve Pons and Keon Johnson, two guys that I think will be two of the best athletes in the SEC, Bailey's not far behind. He can absolutely fly. In the past, he's not really considered himself a pure point guard. I think he's worked hard to kind of get a little more national feel for that position, because I think that's where Tennessee could use the most help. But again, he can play off the wing. He shot nearly 40% from three at Oregon, so that's it's not like he's a liability over there. I just think at his size and with his quickness, lateral quickness, straight line quickness, the the dimension he would bring on defense as a guy that can really, you know, pressure the ball as that tip of the spear would be something that, that Tennessee just didn't have last year.
You you would favor him to be in the starting lineup, wouldn't you?
I mean, I'm not gonna guarantee that, but I think there's a really good chance at it, Jimmy. And I won't be surprised. I mean, I think him and Josiah and Santiago all play very similar minutes. But if with a gun to my head and you know, knowing how much of an emphasis Rick places on defense, I think that may get Bailey an edge up just because I think he's far superior to either one of those other two in terms of, like I said, just being able to get up into people and keep guys in front of him.
By the way, I think that's
a real problem for Tennessee.
I want to go back to something else Pruitt said today that I got a kick out of. Somebody at the quarterback club asked him, my favorite play is that onside kick. When can we see it again? And he said, well, I'd like to play in a game where we don't have to use an onside kick.
He's not shy about that.
No, he's used it quite a bit during his coaching tenure. I thought that was a pretty interesting quote.
And you know what? Even though sometimes it seemed reckless, I mean, I think that kind of gives you a taste of what he's about. I mean, because I mean, it's coming. A lot of them have been futile, but it's also come against games where, you know, Jerry probably knew by the end of the first quarter that they didn't have the horses to compete, and we're going to have to, you know, steal some possessions or, you know, have something funky happen.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the debut of a running back from Lilburn, Georgia. His name's Cody Brown. 18 carries, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's a mighty impressive debut for Cody Brown.
Yeah, and Jimmy, he plays in I'm not exactly sure how great the team he played Friday night was, but he plays in a big-time, you know, region and against big-time competition in the state of Georgia. So the numbers he puts up typically are not, you know, kind of empty numbers that you'll see in high school football sometimes. I'm a big fan of this kid. I mean, Tennessee's got a very, very, very nice-looking recruiting class coming in. I'm as high on Cody Brown as I am on anyone. Best running back recruit that they will have had in, you know, going back to the Jalen Hurd, Alvin Kamara tandem a few years ago. And, you know, quarterback play, I mean, it goes without saying quarterback play is important. But I'll maintain you don't win at a high level in this league unless you've got some guys carrying the football that are going to play on Sunday and be high in NFL round draft picks. And maybe a couple of them if you're going to really, you know, if you have a real chance to get into Atlanta. I mean, just look at the last few years. I mean, Alabama has been, you know, just a rotating who's who of guys that do want an early round draft pick. Same for Georgia, even if those guys want to drop touchdown passes in their first NFL game, it cost their team a game.
Yeah.
LSU, I mean, you saw what Hilaire did Thursday night, his debut. I think he might have had the most yards of any back in the league this week.
Gosh, he might have, yeah, about 135, 138, something like that.
I think I saw a stat last night that he did have the highest rushing total in week one. So, and Cody Brown, he's a top 100 overall player, top 10 running back in this class. I mean, he's got speed, he's got power. I mean, he looks like a high-level SEC running back. And Tennessee's not had one of those, you know, since Jalen Hurd quit the team after the South Carolina game a few years ago and Alvin Kamara left.
Are there a couple of other recruits in this class that impress you about as much as Cody Brown?
I mean, certainly, Jimmy. He's hardly the only big-time guy they've got. But it's been a while since Tennessee has had a guy that you could, you know, and I don't want to say the kid's going to be, doing the first three rounds in NFL draft. But as a high school player, you know, he looks like, you know, he could end up being that kind of guy. I like I think they've gotten really intriguing talent at receiver with Julian Nixon. He's huge. I don't know if he can stay at receiver. He's 6'4", 220 right now. Really good looking athlete. I like Rock Taylor. Even he's not rated as high as some of these other guys, but he's 6'4", 207, you know, wide receiver, big tight end. I'm not sure, you know, what he's going to end up being. And I really like the linebacker from up in Virginia, Aaron Lewis, guy that can really run, or Aaron Willis, excuse me, that reminds me of another guy I really like, Terrence Lewis, the linebacker from down in Florida. Neither one of those guys are kind of, you know, maybe typical, you know, what you've seen Jeremy coach at Alabama in the 3-4, but they're both, you know, around 6'1", 200, 210 pounds. But, man, they can really run, have great instincts. And probably the best guy that they have is Dylan Brooks, the kid that they stole from Auburn and Alabama, and who thus far seems firm. And he is a bigger guy at 6'5", 220. And, you know, I think more probably in that Daryl Taylor role, just a really disruptive edge guy.
Rob, we have seen Rick Barnes and his staff start working on that class of 21 and a couple of really nice commitments. Other targets out there that that Tennessee is working, because they've been connected to so many that were very highly regarded. Some have made their choices, some still waiting to decide. But what is going on with Tennessee basketball with now two guards for that 21 class?
Oh, no, you just said it. You've got two guards. Your backcourt is secure with two top 50 players, including the top point guard in the country. So now it's all about adding some size and hopefully, if you're Coach Barnes, it's to have some skilled size. Without question, the number one target there is Jabari Smith. He's down in Atlanta, the number five overall player in the country. You know, I think that when Georgia, even though while they may not look like a program set up to win right now, they're taking with kids like Smith, they're pointing to Anthony Edwards, who was also from the Atlanta area, stayed at home, didn't win big, but got tons of exposure and is a potential number one NBA draft pick. Tennessee's fighting that Smith. They're fighting Auburn. I think those three are at the top. North Carolina is in there a little bit, but I think being able to hop for the family to hop in the car and, you know, Wednesday at lunchtime and be able to, you know, make a 7 o'clock tip off is a pretty big priority. So I think he'll stay kind of close in the SEC. There's another young man in the Atlanta area, Ryan Mutombo, who is the son of Dikembe Mutombo. He's a pretty skilled big guy. He's a top 100 player. That's a guy that's a priority target for Tennessee. Not rated as high as Smith. He's not quite that skilled, but more of a traditional big guy. Not surprisingly, Georgetown is very much in the picture there. His father went there, played with Patrick Ewing, who's the current head coach. And, you know, Auburn again, Georgia again, Georgia Tech. A lot of, pretty much everybody in the SEC on this side of the SEC is chasing him. Those are the two guys that I would say are both priorities and likely targets right now for Tennessee on the basketball side.
Rob, what's going on these days? What will folks find at BallQuest.com?
Hopefully some game week coverage in the very near future, John. it sounds like that's a real possibility. Still, you know, chasing recruits that never quite ends. Tennessee still has some big fish on the line. Austin Price had a nice interview with one of their top priorities there today, and Terry McGee with Dawkins, defensive lineman from over in the Carolina areas. And we'll have the VolQuest chat tonight. And again, next week we will start hopefully covering a football team that's going to play a game.
Rob, we always appreciate it. Good luck to the Rebels on Rivalry Thursday, and we look forward to catching up with you next Monday.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you. And that is Rob Lewis of BallQuest.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.